It's your boy back again with another BFFs, Beer Friends Forever, but we're going to twist it up a little bit. Of course, BFFs is a show from the Quick Sixer Collective. Go and check out all of our other stuff if you like this. And to introduce this guest, this fine human, Mrs. Kristen Barnett slash
thank you.
Porter slash we'll figure it out later on. but yes, wonderful human. Kristen, I don't even know. So BFS, we're changing it up a little bit because you're not really a beer drinker. Yeah, so yeah. I know it's not bourbon, but it's whiskey. So we'll do a bourbon friends forever because it'll be a BFS. I'm thinking about it. So
yeah, that was good.
Ooh. So anyways, cheers. Thank you for coming on. And I don't know. We're gonna go throughout a bunch of shit with you. So, I mean, introduction is going to go, it's going to be a long introduction, I guess, but,
I love it. All right,
cool. So, first things first, why pick whiskey instead of beers? So this is important, I think.
Yeah. So, I'm actually going to show you this bottle because I feel like it's like fancy. And the fact that it says 100 proof on it is kind of
okay. Yeah.
But so growing up, my father, he thought we didn't know, but at night he was like a big tea drinker, but really it was Coke, and it was like his Jack and Coke or a hot toddy or something like that. And I always remembered the kind of like the smell and the aroma. He might be like at night after work watching a game, and it just reminds me of like comfort home. There's a lot of emotion wrapped up in the smell of whiskey for me in particular. And then of course Jack Daniels,
there you go,
is literally made in a dry county in Tennessee.
Yep.
And one of the people who originally owned the they call them whiskey farms sometimes, I have now learned, but that's an interesting term to me, like a whiskey farm. But mm-hmm. Uncle Nearest is the brand that actually came out of Jack Daniels. He is the original whiskey maker who taught Jack Daniels Distillery how to make whiskey, and he was one of the slaves. And it's just really one of those phenomenal shifts that my dad made later on in life. So now, even though he does still have plenty of Jack around the house, he also makes sure to have bottles of Uncle Nearest. And it's hard to find, but it also still has like the Tennessee star on it. And so I've switched that to my ideally whiskey of choice, but obviously, again, not widely available. And I am biased towards Jack, because there's been something. I studied abroad in Cyprus.
Okay.
And when I was there, anytime I showed my ID, they would see Tennessee and they would be like, oh, Jack Daniels. And every person who was, I was with a bunch of US students, every person mm-hmm. was from a different state. Pretty typically, except for the group of Tennessee cohorts, and you know, it was Florida, it was like oranges, or New York, they were like, oh, the Big Apple, like right, like they had some sort of association with each state. And to me, it was really cool that it was Jack Daniels, and that's not something that I don't think about it that often, but when you realize just how famous like the Jack Daniels whiskey is around the world, and that Uncle Nearest is literally the reason for that, it adds another level to the experience and gets you motivated to go hunt it down, even though it's not easy to find. But yeah, that's so whenever I'm drinking it, it's that's the comfort level of choice.
That's cool.
I wish I liked beer. It's cheaper.
It can also be more expensive. So,
This was like $80. I'm in Vegas.
That's insane. So that, Vegas prices. Like, I'm looking at the website right now, and that's Vegas prices, my friend. Like, sure, for sure. For sure.
But also, you can't find it, so you do have to just pay.
Yeah.
Pay whatever.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's very cool. It does have the Tennessee like 3-star thing. Mm-hmm. There's two different kinds of this, by the way. There's the premium, the regular, and then there's a small batch 93 proof. So
yeah,
there's that one. It looks a little bit lighter, just for anybody who's going to be out there looking for it. Also, this is multiple gold medal world spirit competition winner. And fun fact, where I'm at right now is very close to Lynchburg, where, and I've been to the distillery. It's very cool. Weird thing about Jack Daniels and that whole town, like that's what that place is. Like Lynchburg, that's all mm-hmm. it is. So it's very
still a dry county too, right?
Still a dry county. Yeah, still a dry county unless you're in the tasting room, I think. So that's, and they still sell alcohol. So they sell their bottles there. And it's still made from the same like mountain stream that it's always been made from. So it's very interesting place, and it's very cool. It's like 45 minutes away. Actually, I went there with Ricky. Ricky's been on this show on BFFs. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. Ricky, everybody, Ricky Chowdhury, he came here right when I moved here, I think. And he was like, well, let's go to fucking Jack Daniels. I'm like, all right. Like, yeah. Okay, let's go.
Does Ricky still live in Nashville? Does he live in Nashville?
No, he lives in, shit. Where does he live? He lives in like middle northern.
Don't make it be.
No, he lives like, he moved 2 years ago, a little bit like upstate in California, back where he's from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I want to say San Jose, but I don't think that's right. So. I don't know.
I mean, you're talking to somebody who lives in LA, but obviously I have not seen, well, California is a very big state, so I feel like the majority of people who live there haven't seen most of it. But yeah. I've never even touched Northern California. Like I've never gone.
Yeah. I lived there, what, 6-7 years, and I only went one weekend because my brother-in-law was like, hey, I know somebody in San Francisco, we should go. And I was like, all right, fine. Like, let's go. And it's a whole different game up there. It's so much more beautiful than LA. It's crazy. It's a different world. Yeah. For him. But
everyone just tells me how expensive the hotels are.
Insane.
I need to find a Bay Area person who can like tell me where to go and what to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's
the hell yeah. But it's worth it. It's worth the trip if you get a weekend and you can go do it. But speaking of LA. Actually, not speaking of LA, let's keep it on the south. So me and you met in a very interesting way. So we're both grew up in Memphis, and we both went to the same high school, which is kind of weird. But definitely didn't meet that way. Me and Chase were flying out to Jackson, Mississippi, and actually, I was thinking about this when I asked you to do the show, but you were the person who picked us up that day.
And I was
like, who is this?
Me.
Like, yeah. I remember at the time somebody told, they were like, oh yeah, look out for this girl named Kristen. I was like, all right, cool. If you ever fly into Jackson, by the way, which you probably never will, whoever's listening to this, it's like this small, it's like it's like a gas station. It's so small. It's the smallest airport. So, you pick us up and we go little to our knowledge, but that week probably changed your life forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, including our past guest and your now husband, Chase Porter. He was in that car. So I don't know. I'd like to get his feelings on it, but did you know at the time like that, did anything register? Cause I know you were, you were just starting out doing film stuff at that time, right?
Oh yeah, that the PA job in Jackson, Mississippi, where I was living in an extended stay hotel, because and not like and working as a local, so like not even getting per diem.
Yeah.
It was definitely a life changing trajectory of time, because obviously, I mean, I met Chase, but I also met all of you. Like, there's not it's interesting when I tell people that because I was technically there for 2 weeks, I think in the most technical sense, like if you go from drop down of
sure.
I started and then to leaving, but there was legitimately probably like 8 days where I had actually been Chase. We were building IKEA desks together, like on a Saturday or something. That was probably the first amount of like big conversations that we had had. And a day. I don't know that I necessarily know, like, oh, I'm going to go pick these people up from the airport. This will be a big, like, life-changing deal. It's one of those things you look back on. It's like, oh, that it definitely was.
Yeah.
But I feel like more than anything, it was one of my first jobs, and I was nervous, and I hate driving vans. And so, like, yeah, that's what my mental focus was on at the time, was making sure that I don't scare all these people and make them think that I'm, like, about to crash into their death. And then I think, I don't remember how we even got on the topic of high school, because I must have mentioned where I went to high school, but it wasn't like, I don't think every casual conversation I have with people Bolton High School comes up.
No, I think it was a Memphis thing. Like, I think I'd heard you were from Memphis, and I asked what part of town, and then it got to like, oh, what high school did you go to? And that, I think that's where it ended up. But,
and then you were asking what year I graduated, and because you went, I think you graduated the same year as my brother, right?
Oh, 2006.
So a year before my brother, I believe he graduated in 07. I should know that, but
yeah, no, I think that got brought up. Which, I mean, it's weird. I was up in our attic yesterday, and our yearbooks are up there, and I was like, oh fuck, like this is crazy. So if I went up there right now, I'm sure your brother would probably be in one of those yearbooks. So I only have two. I wish I had all four from the years, but yeah, I only have two.
I have all four. So if you ever want to come see another Philip, like there is a copy somewhere of a Bolton High School yearbook if you need.
Yes. Yeah. But that's crazy. I just think, like, I think back to like when I started in film industry, like I think back to like the random things that ended up changing the game for me. And that might have been one of those trips, but it wasn't necessarily. But I know, like, while we were there, before we move on to this next part, but like, what made you want to get into that, into this at all, like into film and TV? Like, what was the jump off?
I genuinely love TV, really always have. I would say I was social, outgoing, athletic, but like if I had a choice between sitting inside and being able to watch this and have control of the TV, then that's probably what I chose to do. And if that means I have to watch some TV and over my parents' shoulder, because like they're the ones who get to pick it, at least I'm getting to watch something. And I mean, look, I was into theater. I was a journalism major in college, but that was really just because it was journalism and electronic media.
Yeah. So
that gave me a chance to, And I got into USC. I could not afford USC. I got into like all the film programs that I wanted to get into, but it was just not something. And ultimately I ended up pole vaulting my first year in school. So I picked the school that I actually wanted to jump at, which was the University of Tennessee. But the absolute like beginning was just that I was obsessed, you know, like I still love TV, you know, like sometimes I think if you work in something, you eventually get to the point where you're like, this is like kind of bullshit. But no, there's plenty of times where I still am kind of like, oh, this is really cool that this is what I get to do today. Like I have annoyances and everything, but like on the label on my phone for probably the majority of my teenage years said Story Chaser. And because like that is, and that's kind of how I view development and working in TV and movies, is just, I love a good story, and I kind of don't really necessarily care what medium it's in. And it also translates into, I'm pretty picky because I don't like lazy storytelling. and I will make a comment if I like think that ADR was bad, or if that was like a ridiculous cut, or like this was like way too long of a movie.
Yeah,
you know, like the, and also the, I'm covering over the fact that my dad is a very big TV watcher and movie goer, and so it is something like a habit that I think I absorbed, much to my mom's disdain. Oh, she was like, you need to leave the house more. I'm like, oh, I do more things.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I am leaving, you know, I'm going on an adventure through the screen. But it also made me a really big reader too, because I was only allowed so much screen time. So if I wanted more story, I had to pick it up in a book.
Oh, seek it out. Yeah, yeah.
Or fan fiction.
No, that's very cool. I mean, my journey with that whole stuff is much different, but because I didn't have anybody that was very my family's very, I don't know, all of the guys in my family are very sporty, so they expected me to play sports. So but in high school I was on the swim team and stuff because I couldn't do stuff that required lots of running, so my knees are very, very bad. So it was like a, you know, this is soft on your joints and your knees and stuff, so you could excel at this, and which I did. So but yeah, it wasn't like I never had that kind of deal. It was my whole journey into that was it was through skateboarding. So filming skateboarding is very much part of that culture, and that's how you document your career. Like, it's not a bragging thing. It's like, this is where I was at this point in time in my career. This is the stuff I was doing. Like, these are, it's kind of interesting, but, and like a whole big thing of that world is what they call, you know, video parts. So you put out a couple minutes of your footage of tricks or whatever for your company that you ride for. And I always thought it was fascinating. So I kind of like,
that's so cool.
Yeah. So it was like a thing I've always been into, but it was like, at a certain point, actually in college, I was like, I wanted to do music industry and I started it, but it seems so, I don't know. The teacher that I had really threw me off as far as like, this is going to be like just a nasty business, you know? And so I switched to film and TV. And I was like, oh, this will be cool. This is fun. And it is fun. It teaches you a lot of different stuff that you wouldn't have to necessarily know, but it also teaches you to be on your feet and, think in the moment, which is, I think, a skill that a lot of people don't have. They don't have like you got to think about what's happening in the moment and then pivot to what's going to help you out. And it's like that always, that one shift is very much like skating in general. Like, you got to, sometimes like shit happens and you got to think on your feet, like, oh, what can I do with this next thing? Or, if you're at a place, you have to adapt to how the ground is. It's weird. A skateboarder's mind is very strange. You have to think about like how different surfaces are going to feel on your feet.
That makes sense.
Like, if you're going to fall, you'd rather not fall on pea gravel. You know, that shit's going to hurt. You rather, like, I literally have been at a place and been like, you know what? If this was blacktop or like flat concrete, it'd be so much better. Like, it's like a thing I think about in real time. I'm like, oh man, that ground looks real nice. I should go skate there. But like, anyways, spinning back.
That's actually like, 'cause I'm a runner too. And so like, that's something, if you talk to like runners, usually that they kind of have neighborhoods scoped out. Because I was like, no, the pavement's really good here. You know, there's not a lot of bumps in the sidewalk. If you have to be on the sidewalk, you don't feel like you have, because if you,
there you
any
go.
Place you can be where you can actually be on the asphalt and not on the sidewalk, but not have your life be in mortal danger. Yeah. Like in LA, that's not possible. If you're on the asphalt, you like might die. I get that, because there's something that's a, also, I don't know if you know this, but Chase bought a skateboard in the pandemic.
I know. We've talked about it.
Yeah, he hasn't been on it in a while, but
fail.
There was one time apparently where he fell, and he never told anything to me. I just saw like this thing on his elbow, and like the skin was gone. And he didn't sound like it was like that bad of a fall. I was like, if that's not a bad fall, then I'm not built for it.
It's a thing. I think spinning up all the way back around, I think that in the moment thinking is a skill that you have to have. And with, you know, not just the, I guess, running and skating at the same time, but with film stuff. So when we were in Jackson and, you know, 1.5, 2 weeks in, you were like, I'm pivoting, I'm moving to LA to do this thing. And I was like, shit. Okay. Like, cause like, it's not a thing that when you're on a show and you're especially on a remote show, it's not a thing you see very often is people just dip to go to like, you know, to growth in the moment is kind of rare during shows. So it's like when you see it, and when I saw it at that particular time in my career, I was like, damn, like that, I respect that. Like that hustle is hard. Like she's just going, she's going to do it. So it's something that in the moment I was, first of all, hyped on you for, but looking back at it, and like since then, I've always respected your hustle as far as like just pushing your career. You don't give a fuck. Like it's like, I'm going to push this. Like, even though I'm in this particular position, this isn't it. I'm going to keep going. Like, I'm going to keep pushing, keep going. And it's like, that's not only just like, I don't know, a mentality that I saw like in Memphis growing up. It's like, you know, that city is like such an interesting place because there's nothing that really excels there, but people are so motivated. And it's like, it's mm-hmm. rare that you find somebody that really just is like, I'm going to do it wherever I can. And I mean, that's you. I feel like that is, I've always respected that about you. So
thank you. I feel like there's also the what you're saying about like tapping into like the Memphis mentality of it. I do think that, I mean, obviously my father was born and raised in Memphis, like the in my granddad's house. I only knew him for a short period of time. He passed away when I was young, but my dad's father, the house that he had, he actually bought it during a period of like the period of redlining. So like Black people weren't really allowed to buy houses back then. So you kind of you had to do it through some sort of illegal means. illegal, but like
sure, yeah, yeah.
So usually you end up buying things from like, you know, maybe a shadier sector. And so he ended up buying this house supposedly like that used to be owned by a pirate. It was like one of these properties where the, so I don't know, maybe 100 years ago, it was close to the river. It is not anymore. It's like midtown, but it was considered close to the river.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I guess pirates needed their contraband to like not have to be far away, and there was a basement, all kinds of stuff. But my grandfather loved Memphis so much, passed that level into my father. I feel like I almost tried to like reject it at a young age. And then I went to school in Knoxville, Tennessee, and you know what, shout out, go Vols, but seeing the difference,
the blasphemy. Seeing the difference
between Knoxville, leaving Memphis is what made me fall in love with Memphis, because I realized it was definitely more of like a people vibe thing. And I think that what you're talking about, like the things that I said I wanted to do, may have sounded really big and like maybe outside of the, like imagination, but there were still people who were like, well, yeah, go do it, you know?
Exactly. And
I think that there is, yeah, I think that what you were saying, like it is, it's a very much like, what position do you feel like you need to be in to try, you know?
Yeah.
Like you should just go ahead and, nobody cares that you're not qualified.
Well, I mean, it's just, I guess what I'm getting at is like, the way you did it, it was always interesting to me. Out of anybody I've ever met, you're the only person that was like, you know what, I have this opportunity, I'm leaving, fuck it. And you were, everyone was like, oh, okay. You know, cause it was like, I don't know, you were a PA at that time. So I was like, wow, she's just like just going to go. Like, and it was weird because at the time, like every PA I'd ever seen was like, when they're on their first job, at least, was like, oh, I'm going to stick this out because this is my jumping point in. And you were just like, nah, my jumping point's not here. This might be like the starting point, but I'm not jumping in. Like, I'm jumping in out there. Like, fuck this. Like, also, props to you getting out of Jackson when you did. Like, that show
I do think Jackson was a little bit of a part of it. I'm not gonna lie. Like
For
the
sure.
there's something good to be said of like not being in the most comfortable place. Like you guys were put
Sure.
up, right? Yeah,
Yeah.
duh, G12. Y'all were put up, and I was in that extended stay hotel that I was like paying for out of
Yeah.
week, and it was almost like I was paying for the experience. But Olivia, when she hired me, I had told her, like, look, I've applied for some other things. So since I'm being hired as a local, you're not getting per diem, you're not getting they were like, oh, we totally understand if you can get another thing and go move on.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that that's what people say to kind of be polite. Like,
Yeah. Yeah.
and that they actually kind of expect you to still take the job. I just took it to heart. I was like, oh, well, she doesn't care if I just like go and move on in the process of these other things. And
Yeah.
yeah. And so then when I told her that, she was like, oh, okay. So I think that I didn't necessarily read the OOKs in the same way where when someone says,
Yeah.
that I'm also just like, they might be on the spectrum a little like that. If you don't tell me it's a problem, it's not a problem.
Yeah. No, I
Yeah,
get it.
like, yeah.
That that's hilarious. Like knowing Olivia at that point in her life, it's I know exactly how that conversation went, and I'm sure and being in that room when you were like, "Hey, I'm moving on," I was like, "All right," like you know, it was definitely a I knew the what was happening internally, and not just her, but like some of the other people in that room, and so I was like, "Oh, okay, today's gonna be an interesting day," but also that night, you know, me and Chase were like, "Oh, we gotta throw her a going away thing." So the night you left, we did, and it's literally my favorite memory of your now husband, Chase Porter. So that night we ended up having a party, and to send you off and away from Jackson, thank God. and Chase, so there was this one Walgreens or Rite Aid or something that their liquor system.
I think it was Walgreens because I used Walgreens points. I remember that.
Not even just that, but their system was broken, so you could buy alcohol 24 hours there, and it was walkable. So we were like, all right, this is the spot, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. But at some point the police got called, and I remember Chase had just, we were walking up or something, or maybe it just happened and we're inside and gonna clean it up, but he gets back and he's so excited about having the beers with him or whatever, I think it was beers, and they fell out the bottom of the box that he was holding and just smashed right in front of the door. And then minutes later, there was police there. So it was just like, and he dealt with it, but he was hammered drunk at the time. So I was like, all right, you know, like this is hilarious. That is my favorite thing. Cause he was so polite to these police. He was like, oh man, we're just having a great time. Like he put on his like Mr. Rogers ass attitude on it. And then I was like, oh my God, Jace is just handling this. And like everyone just sitting in the room, like looking at him do it. And it's my favorite memory of him. He's just like, oh yeah, we're just having a great time. We're sending somebody off. They're going, they're doing their dream. And I was like, this is the best shit I've ever seen. And it's my favorite memory of him. Hands down.
Jace has like the correct mode to be able to turn it on at the moment to calm people down, but I kind of forgot about the beers breaking, honestly. Like
it's so funny. He was so pumped. He felt like he was so accomplished, and they just fell out the bottom. And I was like, this I cracked up at the time, but terrible, it was terrible.
Meanwhile, I'm over in a corner because like when I'm, especially when I'm already kind of paranoid, but like I had been drinking for a while, so I'm just like over here, like silent. Like, I don't want to say anything. I want to draw attention to myself.
Oh,
like,
it was the best.
The door. Yeah. And he's super calm and like chill about it. It's like, oh, da.
So funny.
I mean, honestly, he kind of did the same thing the other day when we were coming in here and we talked to security about like where to park. And it goes from straight like he's super tired, maybe mildly annoyed, and I was like, hi, like can you tell me Yeah. I swear to God. It's like, thanks, man. You know, with the,
Oh my
and
God.
it's, yeah, it's a beautiful skill. I don't have it.
Yeah. I mean,
legitimately.
It's safe to say you married a good one. And wedding was dope, by the way. And also, second favorite memory of Chase in general is Chase parking a van in a ditch and not knowing that he was rolling into the ditch. I have pictures of this. I'll send it to you.
I'm unaware of this. Please.
This was in the middle of Mississippi at some like random school, and Chase pulled up a little too far and the van was down in a ditch. And it's the greatest thing ever. I can't believe he hasn't told you, but yeah, he wrecked a van in the middle.
I'm vaguely remembering.
Wrecked a van in the middle of it wasn't wrecked, but it was like we had to tow it out of the ditch. So in the middle of Mississippi, like I'm talking, there's like cotton fields around this shit. Like it was
the
middle of Mississippi. Great moment for Chase. He I think he was coming back with like lunch or something, and like it was great. It was great. Or dinner, whatever the fuck it was. But anyways, let's get back to you. So obviously you went out to LA chasing this dream, very much successful, moving on, keep going. And like now, I mean, I don't know if you can tell me what you're doing publicly or
okay.
The real question is, when I left LA, I felt like I had achieved something and I was at a point where I was okay leaving that behind to do other things. And I was like, oh, this is a success. Like I've done a successful job. I'm okay. Where does that, like, I don't think that is probably in your brain. Like you're just going to keep going. But like, when is a successful point for you? And what are you doing now?
Because the more I think about it, like the success to me is like this like huge amorphous thing where it's like, you know, like what is it? It's probably only something that exists, even if it does for a short period of time, because like then you're on to the next thing. Because like I think fundamentally as a person, I always have some sort of goal or like thing that I'm trying to do. But I mean, if I were to say like there's something I could visualize, and it would be like, oh yeah, I really will feel like I've accomplished something. And look, it is never a good idea to like base your success on awards that are really literally deemed by other people that may not necessarily like see your art for what it is. But ever since I was a little girl, I want an Emmy. You know, I want to be holding one. I don't necessarily need to be given a speech or anything, but my name needs to be like on the bottom of it or something. Like that's I think what I would feel like, quote unquote, accomplished. But I don't necessarily feel, if that never happens, that I would not have accomplished anything. But I think that for me, like because my faith is also like a big part of this journey and why I was willing to go to Jackson, Mississippi, and also like at the drop of a hat, like go and leave. I remember when I had first graduated from UT and I knew I didn't necessarily have a full-on direct line to working in scripted TV and movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But I needed to just talk to as many people as I possibly could. And if anyone's willing to help me whatsoever, if you're willing to talk to me, if you look at my resume, like whoever it is, whenever, I will discuss my mission with you and adjust accordingly. And like even when I think about those times, like the number one thing I kind of kept saying and praying over and over again was like, God, I know that you have people out here who are more talented, that they're doing this, they're doing that. There's all kinds of people who you could be really, really invested in and going straight to the top. But like, I swear and promise up, down and sideways, I will not be out hustled. You know, like there's not anyone who's going to work harder than me. Like that. And so like you put me in the room and I will leave it all, kind of a phrase in track when it was a runner. It was like, I will leave it all on the track. You know, like there will be nothing left. And so I think that that's more of my measure of like done or success. Like if I have really done everything I possibly can, you know, like everything within my willpower, then I just feel like new opportunities and new things will reveal themselves. And it's a really more about the bravery of being willing to take it on. So at any point in time, I feel like, especially when I've been presented with things that have been more scary, would be a bigger pivot, would be a bigger jump. Especially, I would say this, every single time I've had a chance to move on to something, I have never felt ready. not even remotely. But I had made a promise, you know, I said, you know, put me in the room and I won't get out hustled, and I will go and do it. And so it was really more about, like, you know, keep the promise. And I felt like a lot of the opportunities I was getting were kind of almost more like dares, you know, like, oh, you said you would go and do it, you know, so like, now you have the thing, are you gonna go and do it? And if I can keep my mentality in a mode of like a phrase in life that it just have had like in young adulthood is like, I say yes, you know, and I figure out the problems after I've said yes, you know, that forcing myself to be in that mentality is kind of, it was definitely harder when I was like 20 something. Now it's very easy for, I feel like, me to say yes and just trust that we're going to figure it out eventually. Or we're going to die trying.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I have no doubt that you'll figure it out. I think one of the dopest things about you, like, you just leaving it on the table thing is very much a Memphis ass mindset. But like, I mean, it you know, you can say you're from Memphis and whatever, you can have that mindset, but to accept it and be like fully in, I've definitely felt myself in that mindset at points in my life. But like, man, I've always thought, and like very few people, honestly, really excel at it like you do. Very few. So I've always respected you that way.
Thank you. I mean, I also feel like there's, you know, there is a little bit of like some athletics kind of mentality in that too. I have been, I feel like I've, my parents had me running like from a young age, and honestly, it is kind of the best mental conditioning you can possibly give to somebody, like, even if your kid is going to be doing something else. The toughness of people who go out and literally just run. I mean, obviously, like, I know your knees, but also running is not like a fun activity.
No, it's the least enjoyable thing on earth.
yeah. I didn't even run with music, Pat, until I was in my mid-20s.
Terrible idea.
When you practice, you're not allowed to.
Oh, so really?
You really actually have to go into like a zone. Yeah, because you're not allowed to run with music in competition. So it's considered a handicap. I mean, truly. Like, if you okay. are constantly running with it, if you can develop like a crutch habit and not be like fully present while you're in a competition, essentially. It's so, like, you need to be able to mentally overcome like the grueling thing that you were doing. But you also need to be very fully present. And then I started running with music, and I was like, this is so much easier. I can get like lost in the song and like develop a cadence and do all of that. And then I became thankful to my coaches, where they were like, even when you went and ran on weekends, my parents were really diligent about like, one, I'm a girl out running around in the neighborhood by myself. So they just like, didn't want me listening to music. Like, you need to be like,
checks out
here.
Yeah.
I get it, but
yeah, it should be aware. Probably, you know, it's probably a good idea.
Sure. The teenage me was running with my Doberman, though, so like, I wasn't scared of anybody, you know.
I fuck with Dobermans.
They're dope. Sadie would have fucked you up, like, if you actually came up to me. But she, not just you, like, literally anybody, like, I
she's like, there, nah, was this is my human.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
She was on her.
All right. So there's two more things I wanted to ask you before we did. So what is, I mean, you kind of answered it in the last thing, but and you might be a tick, but what keeps driving you to keep pushing forward? Cause like, now, like, what is your job now?
I'm the head of television at Bradley Cooper's new company. The name has not been announced yet, so yes. I can't say that part.
Yeah.
But we have a first look on the TV side with Apple. First look means that all of our projects are first presented to Apple. And then if they don't want them, I can take them out to other distributors or people who, and then the first look on the film side is with Netflix. And I help with the films, but like the TV is my primary job and gig. That's cool. It's really like, honestly, an ideal situation. I told myself, my last job at a studio was going to be my last studio job for a while. I really wanted to, I knew I wanted to go and run a pod or something. I kind of thought I would, I'd be like maybe working on, you know, a couple of shows independently and then go into an actual production company and do really more, like, it's probably like a harder route, but this is what I thought I was going to have to do. So I was very mentally prepared to do that. And then in 2021, I told an agent that I didn't have a contract. And I think that they may have told like everybody I didn't have a contract. It's pretty standard for executives, VP and above, to have contracts. It's like you were obligated to that company for a certain period of time. And depending on how the contract is worded, like they might own your thoughts or something, like anything that you are like producing, which makes sense. It's all intellectual property. So it's not, it's golden handcuffs, you know, like they're but when I was thinking about, you know, like, this is what we're going to go do. And then one of my old mentors had called me and he said, he's like, I've got something amazing. And then I didn't hear from him for 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, I'm planning my wedding.
Yeah.
Some other people. I had some really other, like, just big opportunities being thrown at me at a time where I'm working from home and in my apartment with my fiance, just trying to, like, really just chug along. And there, you just have to say yes when your ideal thing pops up, even if you don't think you're ready. Like, it goes back to the...
Yeah,
it goes back to the original mentality of like, you know, I really do think that, you know, if you are called, you are qualified. Like there is a, I guess that's another church saying, you know, like he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called sort of thing. But I think that if you, when I was just really imagining what I would have wanted for myself at this point in my life, it probably would have been this. But I wouldn't have been able to, had I not had other past experiences, even been able to formulate that kind of dream. You had to know more before you can even actually know
what you want
thinking of doing. Yeah.
No, that definitely checks out. But I mean, it's incredible. It's literally incredible. Like seeing your trajectory over these last, better part of a decade, I'd say at this point. Just, you know, from PA to doing what you're doing now is just insane. Like, but also, like, I honestly, like, after like meeting you that day, wouldn't have expected anything less, to be completely
really
honest. Oh yeah, like when you said oh, I'm gonna go, what was the CAA that you went and worked at?
Yeah, it was CAA. I got the, like, motion picture lit internship, and I was like, so I have to go. I mean,
when you said, I was like, I mean, it was not in these words, but I was like, she's gonna go fuck some shit up, like, for sure. You can ask Chase. I was like, dude, she's gonna go fuck some shit up, like, and you did, so that's dope. But I mean, like, what is, like, is it just the passion that pushes you forward, or is it like a certain goal? I mean, the Emmy thing is a goal, like, but I mean, is it like
everything's a goal? I also, like, I really fucking hate failure, you know. Okay. Like, I came second in state my senior year in pole vaulting, and obviously, honestly, I'm not even like bitter about it. I lost to, like, one of my best friends ever, and so
you're
but when they announced it over the, like, the intercom, like in high school, when you come back, I hadn't told, like, that I had some of the best friends ever in high school. They traveled to come watch me jump. Like, they traveled to Nashville to go watch me jump, like, got permission from their parents. And And so it really was, it was a very good, you know, weekend and thing of celebratoriness. And everybody else is so fucking happy for me. And I'm like, second place is first loser. I don't want to be congratulated on this. That's why I'm like, that's what's in the back of my head every time. And so there is also just a certain amount of competitiveness of like, I just am I more motivated by quote unquote success or like just not failing? And yeah, I think it's probably a good mixture of both, you know.
I do know. If it makes you feel any better, in high school when I was swimming, I swam against some motherfucker that ended up being on the Olympic team, like the following Olympics.
Oh well, then you can at least feel better about that.
I forget his name, but he was like, it wasn't like, and it was during like the Phelps era. So it was like some motherfucker that was like, you know, on their relay or whatever.
Have you ever seen Michael Phelps in person, by the way?
Oh, is he just a beast?
I feel weird really judging people's bodies and like saying like bizarrely shaped human being, but like.
No, swimmers are a different
breed. Shoulders.
Are wide as fuck.
His shoulders are like the literally three of me. Like if you sat three of me.
No, I get it.
And his waist was this tiny.
Yeah. No. My fucking shoulders are really wide. Like shirts don't really work good for me. It's always been an issue, but like, especially when I'm swimming, it's ridiculous. But your body forms because your body's not fully formed until your 20s, like your early 20s. So like when you start swimming, it's in your teens or younger, your body literally shapes like it's weird. Like,
almost,
it's strange, but I don't doubt that.
I also feel like he may have had like, there's a thing. Wait, 1 second. I just realized my computer is about to die. Chase, can you toss me a laptop charger? Let's see. Which light will we turn off? Can we turn off this one?
Oh shit! I feel like there's so much tension right now. I feel like it's just gonna everything's
it's
gonna
not,
end.
It's not. We've got this. We've got it. It's
The fucking anxiety. There it is.
It's charged. Or it's at least plugged in. It was definitely down to like 5%. I don't charge anything. Like the
crazy.
Well, I mean the amount of times I'm stuck with dead electronics is. It's my fault. But I also just think they need to make better batteries. Like it's 2022. Why are we going to charge things every day?
I was talking about this yesterday. How is there not electric? Are there electric boats at this point? Because there's like so many electric cars. Like how are we polluting so much water with regular boats? How are there not electric boats?
Yeah.
There's so much sun on water. Like so much. How are
boats were around before electricity.
Yeah, too. I don't so get it. I don't get how there's like not just electric boat. Like, if there is, then like you know, just go after me in the comments. But like, I just don't understand how there's not like everything should be electric boat at this point.
Yeah.
But anyway, also want to point out this awesome like globe ice cube I have. It's just not.
Was it a circle or a square?
Oh, it's a big old like an orb type of deal. But anyway, all right, so here's the last thing for the charging things. This one's gonna be controversial. All these Memphis folk, I know it.
Okay.
All right, so you live in LA now, you're in you know the Satan's asshole Las Vegas right now. What are the top five things that you either miss or you would bring to LA right now?
Oh, okay. So it's been fortunate for me that one of these things actually did happen.
Shit.
Gus's fried chicken.
Gus's
shortly after I moved to LA, they started franchising. So I had to wait like 3 years. you know.
Well, not as long as I did, but promise you. Yeah,
I had to wait like 3 years, but like now Chase and I can like actually go get some real fried chicken, because you know in LA, actually I'm willing to say Southern California, even though I haven't been to that many parts of it, they don't know how to fry things. And that's like, no, that there's plenty of things that SoCal cuisine is way better at, you know, and like,
sure,
there's plenty of like really, really great fresh produce and all different kinds of food, but they can not fry almost anything correctly. You know, like fried things need to have a crisp to them.
Yes.
There's also a certain way, like if you were doing fried pickles, they need to be chips, not spears. That's not the way that should be done.
I agree.
Like there's things, you know.
Yes.
But everyone in LA is like so healthy, so it's really hard to.
It's terrible.
Get a lot of enthusiasm about the fried things.
Yes. Yes.
I really miss being able to just go park places. I know that's not necessarily just a straight up Memphis thing, but that is something, you know, if you are like going out, you should be able to park. That's, you can't make that expectation in Los Angeles. We're doing five things. Five
that's
things
two.
That I would transport.
Yeah, I'll count Gus's. I'll count Gus.
Okay, I guess this, okay. What else would I do? Because I really do, I mean, obviously I miss my family. Like that is something that if I could transplant them, I would. And I have some family out in LA that I definitely should go see more. But in the pandemic also, my great aunt and uncle are older, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just not, unless I can't see them outside, I'm really not trying to expose them to the deadly plague. controversial.
Oh man, hot take. You know.
If I could transplant my family, like if I was on some baller like rap shit, then I would be moving everybody out, and we would be like that. They would have a home in the hills, and I would just be able to go and like pop up and like see them.
Amazing.
They would be put up right, you know. And let's see. I would also. There's not like a lot of local chains and stuff. It's really hard for local things to survive in LA, I feel like the rent alone, maybe for certain businesses, is just kind of hard. So there's a significant amount of unique stuff that has made it, but there's also not a lot of, there's like a lot of chain things, because this kind of goes back into like the fried food conversation, but it is different. I've only found one barbecue place that I find satisfactory. You know, like Memphis, I feel like Memphis has got like food situation on lock. You know, like you may have to drive across town, like different parts of places, like it's specifically what you want, but there's only one place, Bledsoe's, and that guy's from Memphis.
Really?
So like,
where is it at?
Yeah.
Where is it at?
Bledsoe's is on La Brea, but in the pandemic they started franchising, and like they're going to be in a lot of places. But
really,
yeah. I was like, oh, well, maybe that's why I like this.
All right.
It is the best smoked chicken in LA.
Oh,
legitimately,
well, not hard to do.
It's not hard. That's true.
Yeah.
What else would I do? Oh, like just in general, like populace wise, not a lot of regard for sports. And I wish that there was more. You would think the city that has two football teams, two baseball teams, two NBA teams. Like there's, I guess it's not technically LA, but it's the Anaheim.
Oh, I was like, what? Who's the other baseball team? Yeah.
Like,
no, that checks. Yeah, that no, checks out. That checks
yeah.
out.
Yeah, it's like it's of the area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's
yeah.
plenty of fandoms of both. But obviously, you know, one first lesson of LA in sports, even if there are two of one, only one matters. You know,
oh,
like
yeah.
you can yeah, like the I think the Clippers actually should leave LA and go find some place where they can like be the number one team of that city, just sure. from a love perspective.
Like North Dakota or something, you know. Just right there.
You know, I think sports teams deserve to be loved like aggressively.
Yeah. I saw a thing recently that it said California has some of the most sport teams out of any state, like in general.
And that's just also like the weird business alignment of, obviously there's a ton of people. So I think you assume that if you invest in the stadium and everything, like you will eventually make more money over time. And maybe that is true. But like, I am a Memphis Grizzlies fan. I loved when the Lakers sucked because it was cheap for me to go see the Grizzlies go beat up on the Lakers. And like, still, when the pandemic hit, and I guess that was John Morant's first year in the league. Gosh, we've been in this way too long. And it was pretty obvious. It was like, oh, it's going to be like Lakers, LA, playoffs. I really don't care what I'm going to have to pay. We're probably going to be broke for a couple months, but we're going to one of those games. Like, I want to go see. And so there is a general vibration in Memphis, and maybe it's because it's just a smaller place, where like people are even lit for the Memphis Tigers, you know? Like,
Well, I mean,
in a way that is just not expressible and seen here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a thing.
It's very much a thing, and I wish it was more of a thing.
I get it. Okay, that's good. Top five. Speaking of Tigers, I randomly came across a 4XL Memphis State Penny Hardaway jersey in a thrift store the other day, and definitely bought it.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sure you caught that. Yeah, good.
4XL though. This shit's a dress. Like, but I don't even care. No, I'm just going to rock it. I don't give a shit.
Are you just going to wear
it? Yeah. It's dope, though. It definitely hangs, like, a good chunk towards my knees. But, yeah, it's okay. What's up.
You went way 90s like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's one of those, like, throwback joints. Like, it's like the, what, I don't forget what they're called. The classic, it's classic jerseys or whatever.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But I was like, awesome. How many, like, I saw it and I was like, how much is that? And they were like, oh, it's just like $20. And I'm like, yes, please. Just give me that. Well, thank you for giving me that top five. That's amazing.
Of course, of course.
I'm so glad that you have like a decent barbecue, because there was none when I was there. Not at all.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I feel like it was kind of a miracle. I mean, look, I'm saying all of that, but there's also, I think that I'm just a genuinely much healthier individual. Like the choices and options are so endless. Like if I roll up to a place and I ask for a Kraft juice with almond milk on the side, and like some other obscure spice or something, and an avocado that was picked yesterday from someone's backyard, that can happen. It might cost me $50.
Yeah, get some Erewhon prices. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But just like the, like even in general, if I was trying to like source all of those things, like the,
insane.
I do feel like when I go home, I prioritize food, eating my mom's food, like the just being able to really. Mm-hmm. Dig in, give my taste buds a nice journey somewhere outside of celery.
Oh, I feel you. It's definitely something, a contentious thing. Man, you definitely live healthier in LA, or in California, I guess. But the joy of not living healthy is definitely outweighs it sometimes.
You know, we have a balcony now, and I will say this, going out onto the balcony in January, you know, like,
yeah,
that is a nice thing that I can't really over or undersell. Like the weather is
incredible,
really phenomenal.
No, I get it, but is it as good as having Central Barbecue at your fingertips? Like,
I mean, the Central Barbecue is literally what we catered the wedding with. Like, so that's how high we regard
it. I know
the
Central it. I know
barbecue. It. Oh, but you know what though? So I'll say this: the other convenience of splitting expenses with another individual while living in a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment in LA, we also kind of got a pandemic steal on our apartment.
Ooh.
Don't tell anybody. Like the rent would still be crazy for any other city, but like for what we have, you would be paying like $1,000 more in most places. Even though the building is not like super big and it is old, it's like remodeled and we're comfortable there and like able to outfit it. One thing I wish I did do more, I wish I went to the beach more. Like that, I wish like thought about it more and actually went to the beach more. I mean, I go, but I don't go anywhere near as much as I thought. Like, oh, you're gonna move to LA, you're gonna be to the beach every weekend. No, you're not. No, you are not.
You're like five times a year. Like maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, and then eventually like the sheen of it kind of comes off and you might go to events like that people have, like picnics on the beach are superior. I do enjoy them, but
yeah,
there's plenty of parks that you can go and picnic in.
Sure.
Getting your hair done in Memphis is a lot cheaper, and your nails, like basic maintenance, all of that. Yeah. Oh, my dad had a basic maintenance package for me, like Father of the Year. Oh yeah, the he considered grooming. Well, it's also just like a you're raising Black children, you want them to like be really professional and like presentable and whatnot. So I think he was very worried that when I was at college, I was like prioritizing my money on food and eating off campus and like kind of thing.
Yeah,
which is like true. Food and clothes were the things that were the most important things to me at the time.
Yeah.
And so I might not have, like, my nails might not be done. Like, the fro might be the only thing I did for the whole year, you know? Like, there's not a... and so he had made a commitment to me, like, through whenever you get your first job, you have a basic maintenance package. You tell me, like, when you want to be groomed and, like, we will make that.
That's amazing.
Which I loved, because there were plenty of other girls who had to like beg their parents to like go get stuff done. Brian was like, don't embarrass me in these streets, you need to, to look right.
Padre coming through. That's what's up. Is there anything that you want to, I don't know, shout out or talk about before we sign off of this?
If you're listening, if you have an idea, you're not crazy, go do it. You know,
love it.
I think everybody needs maybe said to them once a day. And also meditation helps. Helps you know yourself.
Okay.
Helps you know how like you think and process things. But those are probably like two of the... I was not meditating until I moved to LA, and everybody was meditating with their therapist and like doing all kinds of stuff. And that obviously, I feel like that's literally everything you make fun of about like Angelina on SNL. Yeah. But it is so fun to be invited by people. Like, I'm gonna go to this like sound bath, and then we're gonna do like a healing meditation, or like someone will invite you to go do shrooms in Joshua Tree and like go recenter and figure out what you want to do. Like, people are really, really in touch with themselves in a way that I think in Memphis, or just even growing up in the South in general, like you're kind of on like a constant hustle, and people are just a little bit more at peace. So I am grateful of being able to like, one, see how both of those things can be applied, because there's a lot of lazy Angelinos, like born and raised LAers kind of thing.
Survival mode and like chill mode are definitely good to know.
You're right. Survival mode. Try and give your space as much as possible if you can to exit survival mode and enter into self mode. If you can.
Oh yeah, no.
That's the only thing I would shout out.
That's definitely. I love a positive ending. To center yourself is. It's just, you need to. There's no ifs, ands. You know, you got to do it. So,
yeah.
Anyways, appreciate you coming on here. This is obviously BFFs. We finished. Well, I don't know. Did you finish your whiskey? I don't know if you did or not.
I kept adding ice, but I can definitely chug the end of this. Like,
okay. I got just this ice ball, but
it's done.
Well, thank you for joining me. during this, and thank you for telling me your story. It's awesome. Everyone should follow everything you do.
I feel the need to tell you that I did also mix this with my yerba mate, and that's not something I was drinking until.
Oh my goodness.
Until I was on the West Coast. But you have never been as lifted as you will be with the caffeine from a yerba mate. It doesn't have to be that brand or whatever.
Oh my god.
Get a yerba.
We went from survival mode to chill mode to straight up hipster in like 2 seconds. Fucking yerba mate.
You will love it. Thank me later.
You heard it here first. Go ahead and buy a case of yerba mate and just be on one for a month.
You are gonna be the most you've ever been.
But anyways, I appreciate you coming on here and telling me all this stuff and of course. Telling me your story, your hustle game is pretty on point. So thank you for that.
Anytime,
love you a billion.
Love you too. And then tell Megan we said hi.
Oh, I will. She's in the other room. I heard her get home.
Good luck with her. Good luck with the set.
We'll see. You know, she's going to get it redone before we go on a trip. So, you know, we'll see what's up.
I'm trying to get on that level, you know, like make sure the full set is done before the trip.
You know what we learned recently? And this is way off. Like, we should have learned this a long time ago, but like, put a couple days on the back end of your trip just to chill. Just at the house. It changes the whole game. You know, it's different.
Definitely. You got to recover from vacation.
Oh my God. You really do. I didn't learn this until very, very recently. It's a shame. It really is.
I think that we also get like, as we get older, less able to do like the bounce back thing. When Chase and I first started dating, it's unreal to me. So we would do half day Fridays at CA. It wasn't really a half day. I got off work at like 2. And then would immediately go hop into the car and fight the LA to Vegas traffic. And I might be there for technically 48 hours. And sometimes I would leave Sunday night, but sometimes I would leave at like 4 a.m. driving back to LA and just have my clothes in the car and change in the gym. Yeah, change in the gym on Monday, like at work. And then I just go straight to my desk. As if I had like been in LA that whole weekend or something. And I think about the things. Yeah, I think about that. And I'm like, that's not sustainable behavior that anybody should have been engaged in.
No.
But everyone was doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it checks out. Actually, this is very topical. The other day I went, so just as a part-time thing and just to have fun, I was a manager at a skate park here in a skate shop for a while. On top of doing film and TV stuff when I first moved here. Mm-hmm. And the other day, one of the other dudes that worked there, this was on Wednesday night. He's like, hey, I'm moving to fucking Michigan and I'm having like a session at the skate park and I'm inviting like you 20 people. And I was on that text. I was like, fuck, this thing starts like legit. I knew I was old and I was like, shit, this thing starts at 8. I don't know. And I was like,
oh my gosh, this reminds me of like one of the number one things I missed about Memphis. And I can't believe it wasn't on my top 5.
All right.
Shit closes down in LA. At 2 a.m.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like I've been told lots of rumors about how that actually happened. Some people say the mob in Vegas, it like has a lot of influence in LA, like city council, and that they colluded with them like 30 years ago to pass the laws that keep people selling alcohol past 2 and you can't like operate certain businesses past 2. And so like last call is at 1:30. And the first time I ever went out with some of my friends in LA, there's a lot of Latin, had a lot of Latina friends, and we would go out, and I mean, we might be pre-gaming until like 11:30 or 12. Like, we may not leave until 12, and then we show up at a place, and last call is at 1:30.
Yeah,
and the lights are coming on, and it's like you had just hit a vibe, like you were
only you were just there,
barely just gotten there, Meanwhile, when you go to Memphis, and if you were to go out of Bell Street or literally other any other part of town, you know, they don't even have ending times. You know, it's just however long we're rocking, you know, be till like 6 a.m. Like that's the thing. So really, L.A. is a what I consider to be a sleepy city. Like, people are in bed.
Oh, yeah.
No later than 3.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think legally it was like, it's like 4 a.m. But yeah, there's places that don't close. Like, even here.
But also, crazy. Who's enforcing that? Like who actually is enforcing the
I don't know. Some fuckboy that's on a police station. I don't know. Like, who knows?
Give him a free beer and keep it pushing. Like, the
that's probably what happens. That's probably why you don't hear about it at all. Like, dude's like, man, my free beer is ticking. We're about to get that shit. Like, here we go.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That always bothered me too. Like, you'd have a whole night, especially if you're gonna go to like some kind of show or a concert or something, and then like you're like, oh, let's grab a drink after, and you're like, you might be able to grab like a drink, like that's it, like and that's the end of the night. But
which is why those house parties are, I didn't realize why house parties were such a thing, but it really is, because like you need to be at a private residence past 2 a.m. if you really are trying to like, and obviously like people drink way less in Los Angeles than they smoke or do edibles or any other like, just because weed is legal. So I think that there is also a different vibe in that way, you know, like that there is a limit to how much you can drink. There is almost no limit to how high you can get.
This is true.
It's a weird, like,
yeah,
you could be selling a whole lot of stuff, but.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. The yeah. No, you're completely right. The it's very disproportionate. Like, yeah, you can do this and that. Yeah. But anyways, thank you, Kristen, for coming on here, talking to me about all this stuff. It's been a good time. Oh yeah, anytime, of course. You and your my boyfriend off screen.
He's over there snoring. He's like taking another nap.
Oh, is he out?
2 days. Yeah. He's back asleep.
Weirdest thing about Chase. For real. This motherfucker.
He is I have a theory that like there is this and it is like a quote unquote theory of evolution, but it's also a theory of like genetic imprinting, that there are some people who truly are night owls. And some people who like are very, very diurnal, but even though diurnal, meaning like we as a species, as human beings, we are awake during the day. If you're exposed to light, you will be awake. We sleep only half the amount of time that people slept like 50 years ago, just because of the amount of light that we're exposed to from our devices and everything. And I think that Chase is genuinely like nocturnal. Like, I think that it is an actual thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think when the sun goes down, he is energized.
Oh, yeah.
And when it comes up, he is sleepy. And that's like, that's the antithesis of my ethos, I think. Like, I am awake, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. I run in the mornings because it's when I have the most energy.
Like, yeah, no. If anybody knew this besides you, it might be me. Like, that motherfucker, I swear, like we sometimes we take sorry to whoever was in control of these, but we'd take a production van and leave Jackson and just have a weekend in Memphis or a couple of days, a day or two. And he would drive us back. I remember specifically one time it was me, him, and Cam, and we drove to Memphis for a basketball game. And my brother met up with us and we ended up going out with him and like just drinking a ton. And me and Cam were like, all right, cool. Like we're in for it. Let's go. Let's take the drive back. Me and Cam were out cold in that van. And this motherfucker drove us all the way back to Jackson.
He's wide awake.
Wide awake. And we got there and I was like, oh, we were like most of the way there. And I woke up and I'm like, oh shit. And Jace is just like, oh yeah, we're almost there. We'll be there in like 20 minutes. It's like, what the fuck? Like, so sorry, dude. And like Cam is passed out in their back And then I think he had to work that day. Like, I was like, oh my God, mm-hmm. dude, this is nuts. But yeah, Chase is a night creature. Yeah. For sure.
I didn't even get to ask you how Dylan is. How's Dylan?
Oh, he's all right. You know, he's in Florida doing his thing. But
Florida?
Yeah. He's in Florida. Oh yeah. My folks moved to Florida a few years ago and he followed them down there. Don't know why.
Good for him.
Sure.
what part of Florida?
Tampa area, Newport Richey.
Not terrible, but I mean, I see too many pythons and crocodiles. Like, I'm not built for it.
Yeah, Florida's a different land. It's just its own. It should be annexed, I think. Probably. Like, it's its own.
I mean, world. A hurricane might do that
eventually. Sure, you know, break it off, you know, whatever. It doesn't, it's all good.
I mean, I genuinely hope that for the people like in disaster press it doesn't happen, but it just seems like the trajectory that we are on with the natural disasters is not looking good.
Yeah.
LA will be on fire.
Yeah, it's in the timeline for sure. Exist. It's definitely in the timeline down the road, but we'll see. Yeah.
Whenever I think about where I'm going to live in the future, mm-hmm. literally the rate of like natural disasters is like the
it weighs in
for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it has to. If it doesn't, then
yeah.
Are you really thinking about like the future?
I mean, I guess so, right? But then, like, wouldn't you want to be like landlocked, so like nothing could really fuck with you?
I think it depends. You know, like obviously, I'm not as intimidated, and maybe I should be, by the fact that I live on a fault line because I live on a fault line my whole life. You know, like
so, sure, yeah.
You know, but the New Magic fault line is different than the San Andreas one. I'll tell you what, the first earthquake I experienced by myself in Los Angeles was a genuinely terrifying experience.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird yeah. thing to happen. Yeah, I remember that. I remember the first time that happened to me. I was like, what the fuck? Weird. It's just a weird mm-hmm. thing. Like, I think I was on a mountain when it happened too. Like at a top model house. Like, it was weird.
Yeah.
But
I keep interrupting your wrap up. So I
apologize. No, you're good. You're good. all right, let's fucking end it. All right. This is Kristen Barnett. Go and check her shit out. Go and check out all the things that Bradley Cooper does because she has some involvement with it. All the involvement. She's the boss of everyone. So go and check her out. She's the best. Go and check her out. Go follow her, all of her things. But this is BFS.
I'm not a very interesting to follow, but I'll accept you.
Super interesting. Go and check her out.
I think I post like twice a year.